Welcome to Panther Potpourri, the podcast where we're supposed to talk Panthers hockey, but sometimes we don't. Presented by Florida Hockey Now. Here are your hosts, Jacob Langsam, Alex Lopez, and TJ Peterson.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Panther Potpourri. I'm TJ Peterson. Here with me as my co-host, Alex Lopez. Joining us later will be TNT's Liam McHugh. But real quick, we're going to talk about a couple of Panthers things first. The first thing is that Paul Maurice has said that Sam Bennett is going to miss at least a week with the injury sustained in game two on Tuesday night. We're reacting to this now on Wednesday night. Alex, what was your reaction?
When Sam Bennett went out and didn't come back, and it's a hand injury, that it's the obvious warning sign of it's swelled up to a point where he can't grip a stick, and that's bad. Now that we're hearing, hey, it's not as bad as we thought, it's going to be at least a week, that's good news. What that tells me is he's likely out for the rest of this series, whether it goes four games or seven. And we go from there. I think a lot of people are hearing, oh, we're going to reevaluate next week, as in like on April 31st, he's going to be good to go. I don't think that's the case. And remember, Paul Maurice is notoriously cagey when it comes to injuries. I mean, Eetu Lusarainen was day to day the entire cup final, and he had a fractured shin. Like, the guy was never playing. Same thing with, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, a fractured sternum, and he was day to day, and the guy needed help getting dressed. Like, the expectation of, oh, April 31st, Sam Bennett's going to be good to go, I don't think is going to be the case. It's going to be, can he grip a stick on April 31st, and then we go from there.
Yeah, you would know better than me. Frankly, I don't really have any idea how likely he is to return whenever. I mean, Sam Bennett is the kind of guy that I would imagine that he's going to play if he can play. And it doesn't matter if he doesn't feel at all good, because he just is that kind of player. So we'll see how he feels in about a week. But like, I would handicap it as the serious consideration begins probably like game four, round two, if they make it there, which they're up 2-0 right now against the Lightning. So we're crossing our fingers that things don't fall apart, more or less.
Yeah, I'd say best case scenario is 2 weeks from now is when we might see Sam Bennett again.
Yeah. So anything else that we want to discuss before we kick it to our conversation with Liam McHugh?
In terms of how you adjust, I would say I like what you tweeted out earlier. Move Lou back to the middle. I don't know about Okposo. I know you really like him. I just haven't been impressed by him, and I think he skates like his feet are in cement at this age. If Lomberg is healthy, I would go Lomberg and Lorenz on the fourth line. I would go with that if it was me, but I do like the move of moving Lou to the middle and having him be your third center rather than moving Stenlund up.
Who are you putting on the third line then?
It would be Lomberg, Lusarainen, and Rodriguez.
Oh, okay. I think I already talked about this, but I definitely disagree with that. I would put Cousins on there if you're keeping the same 12 from game one, and then plus Lorenz.
I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, I think that Lomberg only really works as a fourth liner. Some of the other guys, I think they could pass as a top nine player, as a bottom six player, as Jake put it. Real quick, yeah. Anything else you want to say about the other series? Because we haven't really gotten a chance to talk about them on the reactions. And we're going to talk about it a bit with Liam McHugh, I'm sure. But, maybe some things that we can get in before then.
There's just been so much drama. I mean, the Leafs-Bruins series is fantastic. There's just so much intrigue there. Nylander not playing. Marner pulling a disappearing act so far. Matthews finally, breaking out with a three-point game. Like, that series has just been so much fun to watch, and there's so much intrigue with it. Thatcher Demko going out for probably the whole series. I think it's, again, a lot of intrigue in the sense that I had Vancouver on upset watch, even with a healthy Thatcher Demko, because that team reeks of fraudulence. And now they that fan base that is insane has a built-in excuse if they go down to the Predators. It's, oh, well, Thatcher Demko got hurt, not we were fraudulent. So those are the two series I'm really keyed in on right now.
I mean, those are good, both going to be good. I think that Dallas, Vegas, that's two cup contenders. And you typically get one or two of those series every year in the first round. And that's the one I have circled. Now, I wouldn't necessarily be shocked if one of those teams loses to the Jets or the Avalanche, which is another series that I would say is really interesting in round one. The Hurricanes and the Islanders, I'm sure that we'll get into it a little bit with Liam. Rangers, Capitals, that's probably the least interesting. Rangers are taking care of business. I think the Capitals have a little bit in them. I think that they can make it interesting, but I would not be surprised if it, you know, is done after four. Both of those are in play for sure.
I mean, the over-under on total games between the Capitals and Islanders, I'm putting it at under 10. Both those series are done in four or five, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then there's the Panthers series, obviously. We've talked about that. We're going to continue to. Leafs, Bruins, we talked about. I feel like, is that everything we've kind of already touched on?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really talk about the Avalanche-Winnipeg series. That one's also been entertaining.
Who do you like?
I keep wanting to say the Avalanche because I think it's a better roster. But somehow Winnipeg is up one odd thing and then Avs came back and tied it. And I don't know. I think that one could go really either way. That's a matchup that we easily could have gotten in the conference final. But again, because of the way it's all set up, it's a first round matchup. Same thing as Stars, Vegas.
Yeah. I thought that Georgiev was going to be bad in this series. And I put money down on the Jets in the series for that reason. And after game one, I felt really awesome about that prediction. And after game two, I'm pretty nervous. Hellebuck has not been good. That's the thing that you're worried about if you're in my position of having money down on the Jets. But it is what it is. If he gets better, the thing that I'm worried about in particular with Georgiev is not that I like don't believe in him. I just think that he's not one of those elite goalies. And when you put one of those non-elite goalies in a position where they play as many games as an elite goalie, we saw what happened to Cam Talbot in Edmonton. That's an example that sticks out in my head. But you see it every time that a non-elite goalie has to play an elite goalie workload. They fall apart eventually. I mean, Alex Lyon last year with the Panthers is kind of one example.
And again, this year with Detroit, he fell apart towards the end. It's just, you know, he wasn't used to that kind of workload and it caught up to him.
Yeah, and it's not like Detroit was thinking that was going to have to be the case, but.
Yeah, I think that's everything. Checkers get underway tomorrow. Game one is 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's going to be it for the Checkers update. Surprisingly, Spencer Knight stayed down in Charlotte to be the number one for Charlotte rather than the number three here. I'm fine with the move. I still think that if there's an injury to Bob or Stolarz, that Spencer Knight will be in Florida because he's more valuable as your number two than he is as the number one in Charlotte.
Yeah, reopening the Charlotte conversation real quick. I saw that they're getting those games picked up by the local radio affiliate, so that's big. It's good to see that they're embedded in the community in that way. And also, the unfortunate thing about that series is that if they win it, they'll be going up against Hershey, who is the defending champs, and they look like they're primed for a repeat. So,
all right. Well, I think that's everything we've got for our round table. We're going to bring in Liam McHugh now. We'll talk to him, and we'll see what he thinks about the Panthers and the rest of the NHL.
All right. Welcome back to Panther Puri, everybody. Joining me and Alex now is Liam McHugh, host of the NHL on TNT broadcast. He gets to hang out with a lot of interesting guys, that's for sure. Liam, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's great to be back on. Another round of playoff hockey, and Panthers look great.
Returning champion. Panthers look like they might be the returning Eastern Conference champion. Let's just jump right into it. Your thoughts on the Battle of Florida Part 3.
Well, listen, I was so pumped up for this when we got it. It felt like the hockey gods were smiling at us that in the last couple of days of the regular season, we got not only Boston and Toronto, that original six matchup, but we got Tampa and Florida. And what I've loved about this matchup in the past is that it is – the hatred is very, very real. It's very organic. It just – it's something that is – as soon as the puck is dropped, people are in each other's faces. There's usually a scrum after every whistle. They know what's on the line. And I think, you know, in years past for Tampa, what was on the line was, you know, we're playing for the Stanley Cup. And now that's flipped. And that's what's cool about this is that, you know, for the Panthers, they feel like, you know, last year was just a step and that they could take another step this year. And what I've loved about this team all season long is they have played playoff hockey since they dropped the puck in October. They don't have to flip a switch. They are ready to do this. And so far, game one, they looked excellent. Game two, the fact that Bobrovsky made that unbelievable save and, you know, managed to, I would say, I don't know if he out-dueled Vasilevsky, even though they won, because I thought Vasilevsky was absolutely brilliant in that game. But for Florida to win a game where Vasilevsky was that good, that is a huge, huge moment for them. But listen, there's negative too, right? Sam Bennett going to be out a week, and that is – to me, that's killer for Florida because he is a better playoff player than he is a regular season player.
And let's stay right there. I mean, we just spent a few minutes before you joined us talking about the Sam Bennett injury, but how do you think it impacts this? First off, this series and then going on, depending on how long he's out, what kind of impact do you think that's going to have on the Panthers?
I think it's a massive impact. He is basically what the Panthers want to be. You know, his attitude, his snarl, but his ability also to score big goals in big moments, you know, to elevate his points per game in the playoffs, as I mentioned, better postseason performer. And he is also, let's be honest, like he has a history of unpredictability. And that's a factor. You know, it was pretty cool talking to Keith Yandel a while back. And he was talking about how playing against a guy like Matt Rempe, for instance, the, you know, Rangers forward, where you're not sure if he's just going to run you into the boards or if he's going to do something even worse. So you are constantly going back for the puck and just looking over your shoulder and concerned about it in a situation where you normally would not. You just get the puck and go on. I think Sam Bennett brings that element of unpredictability where you're worried about him. He's on the ice. You want to know where he is. So that changes things. I mean, if it's a week, do I think they can get by without him? Yes. But are they going to go on an extended run? Are they going to go back to the Stanley Cup final without Sam Bennett? I don't think so. I think he's that important to this team. So ideally, I mean, and who knows? We've seen this, and certainly Vegas is legendary for it. We've seen miracles of medical science happen this time of year. So guys could return rather quickly. And who knows? Sam Bennett could be back before we know it.
Medical science. going back to Tampa and how you're saying the roles have kind of flipped, my entire thought process on the Lightning is like they're the heavyweight boxer who it's like, yeah, do they have it's and we're all kind of wondering, it's do they have that one last title fight in them, or are they just waiting for someone to come and knock them out? Are they waiting for Buster Douglas to come and just knock him out and be like, oh, Mike Tyson isn't Mike Tyson anymore? And that's what I kind of feel like we're getting with Tampa. And right now, I think the Panthers are playing the Buster Douglas role. And it's just like, all right, is this it? Is Tampa done?
It's an interesting way of looking at it. And, you know, we had the game where Sergachev got injured against the Rangers. It was on our air. And it was one of those moments where it's like, you know what? I think the run's going to end. I think this is it. So for them to overcome that and get to the point where they are now, it shocked a lot of us, but different guys elevated their game. Kucherov is having, you know, had an MVP caliber season. Stamkos had an unbelievable year. I mean, sort of one of these overlooked unbelievable years where he gets, you know, 40 goals, over 40 goals, over 40 assists. And Point has been spectacular as well. To me, the question was Vasilevsky. Could he recapture, you know, some of that heavyweight champ vibe that he had when he was the, let's be honest, there was no question of what goalie you would pick going into a postseason in years past. It was Vasilevsky. He would be the number one pick every single time. He's not that guy anymore. But I think they got the wrong matchup. And much like Mike Tyson with Buster Douglas, like, it's just the wrong matchup. I think there were other teams they could have beaten in the first round. I don't see Florida as that team. I think it's a bad matchup for them. I don't know. I'm always impressed with what John Cooper does. You know, you start doubting him and he's going to make you look foolish. So maybe they'll extend this series and maybe they'll go, listen, they're going to get some, they're going to win some games. There's no doubt in that. I don't know if it goes seven. They'll extend the series. I just don't think this matchup works for them. And I think this is a year where you're going to see Tampa exit round one.
And looking at a few other teams from that perspective, I think that we've kind of talked about all year looking at the Eastern Conference, I guess specifically the Atlantic Division. Maybe it's just that we're overconfident homers, but we haven't really thought of Boston and Toronto as like teams on the same tier as Florida in terms of being a competitor for the Eastern Conference crown. And it was more so that Carolina Rangers on the other end of the a potential conference finals matchup that seemed like more of a fair fight. What do you think in terms of who in the Eastern Conference would come into a series with the Panthers and you wouldn't think of it as that pronounced favorite underdog kind of matchup?
Definitely Carolina. I think you nailed that. Carolina is a frightening team for many reasons. First is they play unbelievably aggressive man-to-man defense. Nobody plays man-to-man, right? But they're fit. They were on you the entire time. They keep the puck in your zone, which is not good for Florida. Florida wants to forecheck and get in there and be heavy on you. They keep the puck in their zone, and that's sort of the best way that they play defense is they hang on to it and put you on your heels. And I think Freddie Anderson has been great, and you know, better than great since returning from, you know, a very serious issue with blood clots. So Freddie Anderson was the huge question for this team. The other huge question is, will they have enough scoring, which is what they haven't had over the past few years in the playoffs. They've been reluctant to go out and sign anyone who was a rental, reluctant to go out and make a big splash and spend money. They did those things. They went out, they got Jake Gensel, a proven playoff performer. And they went out there and took a gamble too. And they went and got Kuznetsov and wondering, is there anything left with this guy? Well, now you have a motivated Kuznetsov, right? Who's in a new environment. And maybe I don't know that any team views him as like a long-term solution, but in a moment where he's got a little chance to prove himself, a little pocket where he can say, I can still play, I can still do this. I think that's a great sneaky pickup for this team. To me, they are that team. It's Florida and Carolina. I think they're a tier above everyone else. The Rangers starting to grow on me a little bit more as the team right below it. But I kind of view Boston, Toronto the way you did, where, yeah, like it wouldn't shock me if they made a run. But I don't see them on the level of Carolina and Florida. To me, it feels like another collision course. And history's going to look back. You guys remember the sweep last year, the strangest sweep in the world. I mean, a sweep where you could have lost every game. And, you know, and you played virtually seven games anyway because they played so much overtime, right?
Right.
So it was such a tight series. It feels like that's going to happen again. I kind of hope it does because I want to see those two teams. I want to see the best on best to get into the Cup final.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely getting best on best throughout the league in terms of these first round matchups. But I kind of want to stay where we were just because I know you're a big Islanders fan and they had that crushing loss. Was it two nights? Yeah, it was two nights ago now. What do the Islanders need to do to get back in this series? And the reason I ask that is because you've got a pretty big bet going with Biznasty, and we got to figure out how you're going to survive on this one.
Yeah, this whole thing was a lot more fun when it looked like Biz was going to lose and he was going to get an Islanders tattoo. And we were just kind of shopping around for artists like to come in and do the fisherman Islanders tattoo. And, you know, we're picking out body parts that he could potentially get it on. And now it's looking more and more like a Maple Leafs tattoo is destined for my body. And I'm going to be wearing a Canadian tuxedo to do a pregame show. If the Islanders get bounced and Toronto moves on, it's a crushing loss. I think if you're probably like 30 or under and an Islanders fan, it's one of those losses that you'll look back and like, oh, this may be the worst loss I've ever seen. Or one of them anyway, you'll remember it. That being said, they were terrible in game two. probably didn't deserve to be up 3-0 and definitely didn't deserve to win the game. However, I thought they were very good in game one. And I thought they had an opportunity to win that game. If they can play that style, that intensity, but with a little better finish on a few golden opportunities and reset things, because I don't think any of this was on Barlamov, but they have the luxury right now of going to Sorokin, who I believe at the height of his powers is a top five goalie in the world. That is such a big deal. They can reset. They're on home ice. UBS Arena on Long Island will be bonkers. They get an early lead. I think Sorokin's the type of goalie who can hold it, and then they can make a series out of this, or at least I'm talking myself into that.
As your attorney on this podcast, I'll tell you two things. One, just start renegotiating. You can always find a way to not have to get yourself a tattoo. I'm not
sure. He loves a good settlement. He loves a good settlement.
I'm not sure if you're a tattoo guy or not, but you can always try to find a way out of it. Mm-hmm. And two, what you want and you need to hope for is that the Islanders and the Leafs both get eliminated on the same day and the Leafs game ends first, and therefore you technically win.
Well, I will say this. There are details to this. We were going to do like the amount of games or like which one ended earlier. If they're out in the same season, same series, same round, it's a draw. However, we then go to something that fans have suggested on Twitter. And a lot of people have latched onto this tattoo idea. I'm quite certain that if we're going to the fans, we're going away from tattoos in this situation. Because now they want us to get like Rangers logos, both of us. And that's not going to happen. But if they both lose, I'm okay. So come on, boss.
Look, in my book, the tiebreaker is Panther Paris appearances. So you got that sewn up.
Done.
Yeah. So just let us know what neutral idea we should propose. Like if he hates fishing and you love fishing, it's like, oh, you guys need to go on a fishing trip and settle it that way or something like that.
These are all much kinder ways of settling this whole thing than, you know, the potential maple leaf tattoo Canadian tuxedo. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that.
I mean, I think you should still have to do the Canadian tuxedo.
That one, I have to say, secretly, I don't mind. That's going to be okay. It's a long playoffs. It's a change of pace for a night.
Okay, I got it. You do a Canadian tuxedo, but get it like made up like a Gretzky jersey. and then just move away in the whole night.
Yeah, I should do that and then have Gretzky sign it.
And then auction it off for charity.
Yeah, there we go.
And done. Eventually that'll be in the Hockey Hall of Fame. And exactly. Everybody will want to make a pilgrimage to go see it. So, Liam, you've been very generous with your time. I do want to ask you one thing before we let you go, before you plug everywhere that everybody can follow you and tune in to TNT and et cetera. So Rick Tocchet was with you on the panel, and now he's behind the bench in Vancouver, and they're in the playoffs. What's that dynamic like for you and everybody else that used to be with him on the panel?
It's really cool. We know how passionate Rick is about all this and how hard he works and how badly he wants to win it all. But it's also it's one of those where you don't reach out that much because you just don't want to bother the guy. And you don't reach out good or bad. You certainly don't reach out after a bad situation. But even if it's good, now I don't want to reach out because I know he's superstitious and he's going to be like, you're screwing up this. Like, or if I do, I'll have to call him after every good thing happens from then on because that's how superstitious a lot of these guys are. and I don't even want to get into this. So I'm sure that like mid-June we'll reconnect at some point and talk about it all. But it's really... For us, it's a lot of fun because he's a good friend. He's a great guy. And he, honestly, in the last couple of years, he's taught me so much about the game. It's cool to see how those players in that entire city's responded to everything he's doing out there.
Liam, thank you so much for joining us once again, guys. Liam McHugh, host of Hockey on TNT. They are the best panel out there. It's so much fun listening to them. If you guys aren't watching the pregame show, you need to be. It's so much fun. Thank you so much for your time. Hopefully the Panthers go on another run and you're back down in South Florida for another cup final.
That'd be awesome. Guys, thanks so much.
All right, thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow night with another post-game recap, and go Panthers.